Every week on football fields and baseball diamonds, in hockey rinks and gyms, kids and grown-ups get hit, shoved, pushed, and elbowed. If these everyday contacts happened off the playing field, they would be actionable through the tort system and maybe even crimes. This difference seems completely logical to us, particularly in our sports-drenched U.S. culture, until something seems a little too unsporting. Two kinds of contacts can lead to injuries in sports. Intentional contacts like football tackles and boxing punches, and not-so-intentional contacts from voluntary acts like baseball pitches and hockey shots. For the most part, even those who are severely injured from these contacts have no causes of action against the actor. Battery generally covers intentional acts, but players in sports are deemed to have consented to the types of contacts inherent in the sport, no matter how grave the consequences. Only the most hardened football fan can watch the horrific 1985 video of Lawrence Taylor tackling quarterback Joe Theismann, breaking his leg and ending his playing career. But in the eyes of the law, Theismann consented. Even if the contact is motivated by unsportsmanlike motives such as personal animus or even financial bounties, legal contacts are still covered by consent. Furthermore, even illegal contacts, forbidden by the rules, may not be actionable if they are foreseeable to the players. Basketball players can't sue those who commit personal fouls, and football punters can't sue someone who tackles them after they've kicked the ball. However, a player who injures another player in an unforeseeable, egregious manner may wind up in court. In 1973, a Cincinnati Bengals player hit a Denver Broncos player with a forearm to the back of the head after a play was over for no reason other than frustration at an interception. The player suffered severe neck injuries and sued the Bengals for battery. The court held that in certain rare circumstances, an act may be so out of the bounds of the rules of the game as to constitute unconsented to battery. But what about injuries that happen unintentionally? Even non-contact sports are filled with injuries caused by wild pitches and errant golf shots. Though in ordinary circumstances, individuals could sue in negligence for injuries caused by baseballs hitting windows and speeding race car tires flying into crowds, in the world of sport, participants assume these risks. In the eyes of the law, sports participants and organizers have no duty to eliminate risks inherent in the sport. And not only do infielders not have a cause of action when baseballs and bats zoom toward them, neither do spectators. Some states, including Illinois, have passed statutes specifically saying that baseball organizers have no duty to protect spectators from balls or bats leaving the field. Cases involving flying hockey pucks have been less definitive, though most state courts have held that fans accept that risk as well. However, after a tragic death of a teenage fan in 2002, the Columbus Blue Jackets settled claims with her family, spurring the National Hockey League to mandate additional netting behind the goals. But some lawsuits target not the player who caused the injury, but the coach, school, team, or league that somehow created an unsafe environment that led to the injury. These cases are also generally unsuccessful, even when brought by minors, unless the facts are particularly egregious and the injury is severe. One important pending case is a class action brought by former professional football players against the NFL, claiming that the NFL hid the risks of repetitive head traumas that now have caused various brain injuries. The outcome of this case, which has also inspired a similar lawsuit against the NCAA on the collegiate level, could change how we view the inherent risks of dangerous contact sports for adults and children. This is Christine Hurt.